is turned on now. Let's go to John. Chapter 12. Everybody there? Go to verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And verily, verily, I say unto you, except a kernel or a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be." And the idea, well, let's go back, let's go to Mark 8. Let me look at a couple of these. Starting verse, Mark 8:31. "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest the things, not the things of God." "That be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him with the disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Let's go to one more. Let's go to... No, let's not. That's enough. The whole of the New Testament is that subject. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Now, what does it mean to take up your cross? It means that you die. There's got to become a place in which you die to self, that you see yourself as dead and buried. And the purpose of baptism is that seeing. Now, I've taught this for 40 years. But whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. You know, what does it mean to save your life? It means to continue to be concerned with the things of you in this world. I don't know how more strongly I can talk about this. And I couldn't talk about it with any integrity if I hadn't. If I hadn't lost my life, if I hadn't lost my own self-interest, if I hadn't paid any attention to what was going to happen to me tomorrow or the next day. Now, I don't want to say this to rebuke you, but I want you to see that the entire New Testament is based on, in order for you to apprehend it and be apprehended by it, is you die. You fall into the ground and die. What does that mean? You lose sight of yourself. That's what abandon means. You lose sight of yourself and your own self-interests. That's what a disciple is. That's what a disciple does. Any response? If you can't do it, then give it to the Father. Say, Father, I don't know what else to do. But never justify yourself. Now, these are the hardest sayings that one can hear. But if you don't have ears to hear, then it's time to get the wax out. Any response?
I was thinking about, you at best can reckon yourself dead.
What does that mean?
Count it as a, that's the facts.
Right, and so what's the fruit of that fact?
Well, the fruit is what the fruit is, not what you want it to be.
No, the fruit is what the scriptures say.
Well then, what do the scriptures say?
Abandon yourself, deny yourself.
Love, joy, and peace is the fruit of abandonment, dying to self, and entering into Christ's life. And what do you say it is? What is the fruit of it if it... You press die.
Your fruit of your, the fruit of it is to your death and burial.
That's no proof. That's nothing.
That's nothing.
Death is nothing. What is then? What is life?
It's not our business any longer because we take no interest in ourselves.
Okay, so there is something.
It's him. His life alone.
Okay, and then what does he look like?
It looks like the description in the scriptures, abandoning himself, taking no thought for himself.
Okay. And he does what?
He does what he sees the Father do, because there's abandonment, there's taking no thought.
He serves his brethren, he lays down his life.
But he doesn't do it of his own will. He only lives with the abandonment of self. No more self-interest. The reason is the self is the lie. Let's go to Romans 6. And this answers the question. Let's start in verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. Clear, definitive statement. We are buried. You can't bury someone unless they're dead. You are buried in baptism with him unto death. The life, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be walking in a newness of life. And that newness of life is that you've lost self-interest. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be, and then if you notice, forgetting all those italic words, we shall be also of his resurrection. But only if you've been planted in death. You're not part of the resurrection if you haven't died, because you're still living by the deception of the evil one. Do you really understand that your mind is the evil one? It's evil above all things.
Yeah, I do. But the thing is that the only thing I have to do that with is the evil one. The only thing I have to be able to answer that question with is the evil one. I know it's going to try to fool me again and again and again. And, you know, I mean, short of taking out a gun and killing myself, I can't stop that from happening.
You can stop it because by one way and one way only.
I can repent.
And that's repentance. And yeah. I don't care if that call to repentance is 1,000 times a day.
And I agree with that.
The minute your self-interest comes to mind, that's the abandonment. That's, Father, forgive me.
Yeah.
I have resurrected myself again.
I agree with that. Oh, look, that's the point. You know, I'm lousy at doing it, so,
My point is, if you're lousy at doing that, you still see value in the world.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but the thing is, I'm not God to make myself, you know, see through these things. I just do it the best that I'm stuck doing. You know, repent when I can remember to repent.
I'm not
trying to justify myself, but I feel like there's this constant attack. You're not perfect. But I'm not perfect. Yeah, I agree with that.
No, there's nothing. There's not a constant attack. You're not perfect. That's not your business. Your business is taking no thought for self.
Well, I agree with that.
Taking no thought for what you're going to do tomorrow. Taking no thought for what you're going to eat or wear.
Well, where are you going to live? No, I understand. I take too much thought for things like, where am I going to live tomorrow?
I mean, I pray that I have been faithful in what I see and what I teach. But it happened, you know, half the time I didn't know where I was going to sleep. I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know where, you know, I mean, and so when I didn't know where I was going to live, I lived under a bridge. When I saw myself returning to self, I went out for 4 days with my face in the mud until I could see that I had died in baptism. Or I was buried in baptism, and the me is gone. So my own self-interest, which are represented by your thoughts and protecting of self, the thing, I mean, this is the issue with modern Christianity. It's created a system by which now you can improve yourself better. Which is what the evil one, that's the trick. And it's the trick in the church, and it's a trick in you. That's why, you understand, remember the first church had at least 10, but no more than 20, and they met 3 times a week, at least. And the reason they did is because of this. This is what they discussed.
Mm-hmm. And this is why I come. Because fully believe in that, exhort one another today while it's still called today. And that's the most important thing, because I cannot persevere in this thing without coming here every morning. I don't even have a chance. I can't persevere with coming here, but I certainly don't have a chance if I don't come here.
Well, my point is, the only response to self-interest is, Father, forgive me. And I don't care if you have to do that 10,000 times a day. Every time the best or interest for you comes up, Father, forgive me. And that may be repentance 25,000 times a day. But until it is real, this is just a mockery of the mystery of God. Because we thank God, we praise God when something good happens. It's like the football players, they make a touchdown and they go, I mean, that's
I know. When you get sacked, you should do the same thing.
No, you shouldn't do any of them, because it's...
Well...
You're trying to prove something. You should live it. How do you do that? Well, you can't do that if you're trying to save your life. You're trying to improve yourself. You got to lose self-interest. You lose the capacity to see what is best for you. I mean, this is what I've been preaching for 40-some years. Maybe not as, obviously not as good as I should have. The time that I was living in the office and sleeping on the floor of the office, I had $5. Anyway, the point of it is, I ate one meal a day, and I walked from where I was to the Highland Park, and I had a way that I could eat and get enough nourishment for $1.83. I don't remember if I did. I never complained about it. I never told anybody about it. But my point is, if I haven't been a model, if you haven't seen that I live what I preach, you shouldn't believe me. But if you do believe me, now this is the ultimate self-interest, because it's salvation. You must fall into the ground and die to self. And that's testified in burial and baptism. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be of his resurrection, is what that scripture says, because it took all italics out. Now this, it's the glorious place, and I mean, there's nothing like it. There's no experience in the world that can match this. It's the fullness of him in you. And he's not going to violate your will ever. You're not dead because you say you're dead in the scriptures. It's you're dead when you are buried. I'm sorry I get intense with this, but it's like it's forgotten so quickly. I mean, just if the disciples were here, it wouldn't be the world system that put them to death. It would be the church. Thing that where how all the disciples died. It's not here. I can't find it. But they all were killed.
Except for John.
Hmm?
Except for John.
Right, but they tried to kill him. They stuck him in a vat of hot oil. But my. These testimonies that we hear and the sports figures holding their, they're trying to use God to be successful. Or if they are, if they're successful, then it's the, well, God is blessing me. No, he's not. You can talk about God saying God is blessing me here and there, and it's just it's horse hockey.
No, it's the Antichrist blessing them, because it's about replacing Christ, and I think that that's one of the good things about them doing that, is because we have this clear example of what it isn't. I can't get what it's right, but I never can see those things without knowing what's wrong.
But if you can see those things as knowing it's wrong, then you can see those things in you that are wrong, and you say, Father, forgive me. The cross is your death, not the improvement of your life.
Well, that's a reminder to me. Those are reminders. Those are things that do remind me. Help. They help me as much as coming here to remember what you just said. When I see something that's stupid.
Well, I mean, I don't know how to preach this any stronger.
Probably you just need to keep being the example. You are an example to us. I don't want to go through you with it. I pray to God I don't have to do what you have to do. But maybe that's what should happen. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the only example I'm talking about, not you don't have to worry about what I don't do, but
worry about what I don't want to do.
The only reason that this gospel hit me so, like an atomic bomb is what I've described it as, is because there was nothing in the world that I saw that I wanted to do or be. And I was bored with it. Boredom is the most incredible. It's then the opportunity. If you're bored in life, then finally you've seen the end of you. If you're not bored, you run around just like the rest. I mean, can anybody... I used to say this all the time, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Now, this is the gospel. Your death is life. You're not dead because it says you're dead. You're dead when you're dead. When you no longer have any interest in the things that you, of this, my mind is just as bad as everybody else's, but I've learned not to pay attention to it. Every time I concern myself with something about tomorrow, then my God, it's like God takes his hand and slaps me in the back of the head. That's not your business. But he's not gonna do that as long as you're putting the name of God and the things of the world. No, I'm doing this for God's sake. Or I pray every once in a while. Most of the time, the prayers are how to be successful in the world. Except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And you're the kernel of wheat. Some fell, the wheat, the seed, some fell on stony ground. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on ground that wasn't very good. But when it's good ground, you fall into the ground and die. And it transforms everything. You don't now just live, and now you got a new title. And this is what I've tried to preach for 40 years in every way I know how. And I still see self-interest as a subject of your life. Well, that's enough yelling, I guess. If you can't do it, then beg for forgiveness from the Father. Don't justify saying the Father is doing it. You know, I've told you before about all these things when I was doing the television. And they'd come in and give their testimony. God really blessed me. I ran out of gas, and then I prayed, and I had enough gas to march near someone. Idiotic thing. It's no longer that, well, God blessed me because I got a big contract or I won the lottery. That's not it. If it's self-interest, it's not of God. Just remember that one little statement. If it improves your life, it probably is not of God. Does anybody have any? I mean, if you don't believe me, argue with me. But don't sit like a bump on a log. Well, I can't talk to you because you blah blah blah. Well, and that's.
I'm trying to get what your vision of a Christian is. Someone who's miserable and unsuccessful.
No, it's someone that has joy in everything.
Well, where is the joy? You don't even.
That has nothing to do with the joy, with anything that is self-improvement.
But in
the life, joy is seeing the revelation of Christ.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you?
So then. That doesn't happen 24 hours a day. It doesn't happen 10 hours a day. You have a life. You do stuff. Things happen. You go here. You go there. Is not God in all things? Or is he only in the bad things that happen to you?
He's only in the things where you have lost your any self-interest. Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone.
I have to say, I'm happy with the toys, and I'm happy with play with things and things like that, but I don't believe joy has anything to do with something that happened to me. Joy happens when it happens, because I'm not thinking about toys, and I'm not thinking about jobs, and I'm not thinking about where I'm going to live. Those are when joy happens, and I'm not sure that's the times when I'm. To the extent that it's possible, I'm not paying attention to myself.
You know, the joy that I've had all these years is always when someone sees. That's the joy. It has nothing to do with what I do or don't do.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me. I understand that. I can have a lot of fun, but joy is when it's not about me.
You know, maybe I'm maybe I'm not doing something that I don't know how to live any different than I live, but the living is with no self-interest. If there is, my God, I have to, I like, in fact, I many times, if the self-interest continued in me, I finally got down on my knees and I bawled my head off in my bedroom. This is why everybody here, including us and the world, has been seduced by this false gospel. That God is blessing me if it does something good. That's a lie from the depths of hell. Because it continues to resurrect you.
He giveth and taketh away. Somewhat King James. He does both.
I don't know what you just said.
He gives and he takes. He has gifts and he takes through I guess if you want to call it consequences of disobedience or lack
no,
of
discipleship. You got to hear this. He's not going to violate. When the evil one is there, he doesn't come. That's when he goes down to the deepest part of your dungeon, in your temple, you. He doesn't violate what you think. Your mind is, until you see that your mind is your enemy, and the past life is the opposite of him, you know, it's not. The whole church, not just here, but out in the world, has gotten this thing that if their life is improved, then God is blessing them. I mean, just every one of the disciples. I can't find it here, but you've heard me talk about it. Every one of the disciples was killed by the people that called themselves believers.
I remember when you went over that. I remember one was cut in half. I remember one was boiled in oil, I think in India or something.
One was skinned.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, you know. I remember that somehow or another they were able to think that was, you know, okay, because that was what God was doing, you know, and they lived through that, you know, or they died through that. And that's, the call is about more than, you know, whether I'm happy or not.
Well, the way you know is that if there is if there is a cause and effect issue in the way what you see in your life, then you know it's of the deceiver. It's it's. If you can enjoy and all of a sudden, you know, you're bankrupt, you have nothing, then that's not the deceiver. Now, he's not going to run around and make you bankrupt so you can see this, but he's, whatever is going on in your life, you've got to always remember that it has nothing to do with your life. And the minute it does, then you're on the slippery slope. You know, even to the extent of, you know, when I was on the radio or television, we had jillions of people coming, you know, because they thought, well, whatever. I mean, not this before we started fellowship group, but it's almost like for me the early success was when I was asked to leave the church. Now, that sounds weird, but it happened many times. You remember the time I told you about that? For me, Pleasant Grove is the evil place because everything I was invited to go speak at a church, and they told me they were having a special midnight service because I got off. That's when I quit those talk shows, when I went usually about midnight or so. And so I get there and they have me sit in the front row, and then all of a sudden they all got up and they started marching around me. My probably 150 people, and as they were marching around me, they were chanting, "Holy isn't holy, holy isn't holy," and I thought I was in a bad dream. But I finally just got up and walked out, and they continued, "Holy isn't holy."
Sounds like they're trying to do an exorcism or something.
That's what they were trying. That was what they were leading up to. And there's all kinds of other happenings. I mean, like, but not that direct. But all I'm asking you to do is what the scriptures say. If you're not losing self-interest, you know you're hearing the wrong gospel. Anyone else?
I just think in Romans 8:28, it talks about God. It actually, God causes all things. It says we know all things work together for good. So, regardless of all...
The work together for good is because they're pushing against the ones that are... that you're trying to see if you're going to be seduced by it. It's not pushing together for good so that you can be a success or...
Well, it depends on what you're defining as good. And... Those who love God, all things work together for good.
But you can't love God and have any interest in yourself.
So is only the Antichrist? Is this room full of Antichrist?
It's full of if you're still going by your mind, then you're full of Antichrist.
Is the Antichrist preaching to the Antichrist? Where's Christ?
Christ is always at the lowest seat. He's never going to violate your will. As long as you think that this and this and this, what that you define what you like or don't like, you know, it's... It's the same thing I've taught for 40 years. I mean, it's not something new.
But you have no fruit from what you've taught. You just said there's no Christians in your view.
What?
You talk like there's nobody that believes.
No, I'm talking about to believe more. I'm talking about believe more, lose self. That's all I'm talking about. You believe more in him and less in you. You depend less on you, on your own arm of understanding, and everything you do by faith. And by faith, there's no interest. You have to. Faith can't work where there's self-interest. It's the abandonment of self. No, it's. You know, I think you remember this. Gary may remember, but. When I first started Trinity Foundation, I had just about every rich Christian in America on our board of directors. It didn't take long for them to resign when they heard me. They had heard me, but they hadn't heard me. And I was stupid, but that's another story. I probably still am stupid, but... Quick story, Gary will remember this, probably Tom. I came up with this harebrained idea to have a concert. And one of our people on our board of directors was the son of the owner of one of those big chains of the...
Gibson.
Whom?
Gibson.
Gibson, Gerald Gibson. And his father was the founder of the Gibson discount stores, and they had them all over the world, or all over America. And so the reason I ended up doing the concert is that Gibson, the son, they were announcing that they were going to have a Christian music and book section in each of their stores. That's what he had planned. And the concert was going to be the help them in that context. And so he promised to pick up any, if there was any less than, and if we needed any money, if the concert didn't pay for itself. So we had the concert at McFarland Auditorium in Simeon. It was a big place. And it looked like we were going to have a lot of people there. And the concert was Pat Boone and the other, Andre Crouch and the Disciples, which were the most popular Christian group then. And, of course, Pat Boone was Pat Boone. And so they all came. It was the worst storm that we had had that year.
About like today.
Huh?
It was about like today.
Oh, except it was raining like cats and dogs. And so we lost. We didn't have any money. We lost, but it didn't matter because a lot of people had prepaid. And we were about $15,000 short because it was, it cost a lot of money. And so I went to Gibson, and the son wasn't there, and I talked to his dad, and he said, well, I didn't know anything about that. And I said, but your son, blah, 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 we even had a contract. And he said, I've sent my son to an insane asylum. He went to an asylum, but he went someplace because he had a mental breakdown. And I said, Dad, what in the hell is going on here? And so Andre Crouch and Pat Boone, they forego it. We didn't have to pay them. But we still lost money because of the running of the... And it wasn't a lot of money, but it was enough to... I had to do all kinds of tricks to try to get it paid. But, I mean, and that was just some harebrained idea that had nothing to do with the mystery of God. But it was somehow... I don't even remember how I thought about doing it, except I had Andre Crouch and the Disciples and Pat Boone on the talk show a couple times. But I got seduced. Well, I'm going to do something for God. One of my many idiotic things that will happen, but the one thing you can certainly say about what I do is that I've never been successful. In the world, I was successful all the time. So don't judge God by success. Judge it by failure. Amen?
Not quite.
Hmm?
Not quite.
All right. Take it, big guy.
I put him in a corner.